Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday, May 31st, 2015, episode 48. We're back, folks. It's been a little while, but this is Hockey Guys Podcast. Here's truly Hunter Crowther and my co-host Chris Shannon. Chris, I've been done school for a while, but still got a little bit of time. How's that going?
It's going good. You know, I'm on the last grind. I finished on Wednesday, so I'm just looking forward to summer. But there's some good hockey, and that's been carrying me through this last week of hell.
Yeah, school is hell. School is utter hell.
Yeah.
But what's even more hell is the shifts that I've been working at my summer job as school is now done. And I've found myself stuck working 3 to 11 shifts, and so I haven't seen a live hockey game in about 3 weeks. So I'm going to need you to pretty much carry the load for most of this show. Do you think you can handle it?
I think so. That's a brutal shift, too. You know, you've been working hard. I can see that. I'll take over for sure.
It's pretty much I have to leave for work at 1 p.m., and then I don't get home until midnight, and then I just go to bed, and I wake up and then just go to work. It destroys your life. Destroys your life. Oh, well.
Yeah, that's brutal. Yeah.
Oh, well, anyway, we should probably talk about hockey because this is the Hockey Guys Podcast. And by the way, you know, I know my voice sounds horrible today, so please bear with me. We've been gone for a while, but the one thing I want to tell our listeners that, you know, we never really promote ourselves. We never really talk about where you can listen to the show. And folks, you know that you can find us on iTunes. We are that cool now. We're mainstream enough where you can download us on iTunes and make us some money. So you can go on there. Search the Hockey Guys Podcast. You can find us online through Blog Talk Radio, which is a wonderful platform that we do the show on. Or you can just go to thehockeyguys.net and you can listen to the show directly through there. There's a lot of avenues that you can listen to us. And obviously, if you follow me on Twitter at Hunter Crowther, you can follow Chris at ChrisShannon16. We're always promoting the show. We're always talking about the sport. And especially in the next few weeks, as the Stanley Cup Finals rolls around, we're going to be talking a lot of puck. So make sure you find the show through there and we'll give you something to listen to. Last night, we confirmed who will be in the Stanley Cup Finals. A couple of nights ago, the Tampa Bay Lightning defeated the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden, the place that the Rangers never lose Game 7. Tampa Bay advanced to represent the Eastern Conference, while last night, Blackhawks came in Anaheim, shut it down. Big 5-3 victory over the Anaheim Ducks. Now, as they came back from being down 3-2. Now, Chris, last night was actually the first hockey game I've watched from start to finish in weeks. And it was obviously nice to watch. I thought that Chicago outplayed the Ducks for the most part, despite the fact that the Ducks were generating most of the shooting opportunities. They were dominating in every possession statistic, but the Blackhawks capitalized on their advantages. What were your thoughts in general on the series between the Anaheim Ducks and the Chicago Blackhawks?
I think that was one of the most entertaining series of the whole playoffs so far. Chicago, they really showed how good they are. I mean, they had depth in every single position. And I was surprised with how well that Corey Crawford played, especially last night. It's for sure a fun game to watch against those two teams because they're such fast-paced games and hard hitting as well. So, you know what? It was a fun series, and it was really, I mean, yesterday I was surprised because at the beginning, the Ducks were dominating. I was thinking, like, damn, Chicago's got to wake up here. And then that Jonathan Toews goal went in and it changed the whole game. I mean, Jonathan Toews, I know no one likes to use the word clutch, which I understand. I don't like the word clutch in sports. I don't think it works out because there's a whole bunch of articles. Actually, I'll tweet out an article in a couple minutes about the word clutch and how it's used in sports. But I think Jonathan Toews deserves more credit than he deserves and than people give him, because I know you hate this, Hunter, because you think that people compare him to like a Sidney Crosby, which he's not. He's not the best player in the world, but he is one of the best leaders in the NHL. And every season, this team is bringing themselves higher and higher. They're going to the Stanley Cup playoffs. They're making it to the conference finals. I mean, this team, this core is so strong. And the crazy thing is, yeah, they're going to be changing off this core. I mean, they're going to lose some players this offseason, no matter how far they go, no matter if they get kicked out of the finals but they've signed some pretty big guys out in from the KHL. I mean, this team, they do it right. And this Chicago team, you know, I was cheering for them against the Ducks. I thought the Ducks, I like the way the Ducks play hockey, but I just wanted to see Chicago get their last run at it, kick of the can. And you know what? It was really surprising. And this team, they played with four defensemen, and it just, this series really strengthened and showed me that Duncan Keith is probably one of the best defensemen in the NHL. I mean, the guy, he was the most surprised. I don't know why I was so surprised, because I knew he was amazing, but this guy, he played 30 minutes a night and just dominated each shift. He would go down to the offensive zone, then he'd somehow float back to the defensive zone. He's probably one of the best position players in the NHL, and yeah, Duncan Keith, man, that guy has got himself a solid Hall of Fame career coming up.
One of the most fluid skaters I think we've seen, at least in the modern era, Duncan Keith is. What really fascinates me is his ability to play more minutes as the season goes, which normally when it comes to your stars, you try to lower their ice totals and you try to maneuver their ice time where they're not put in a position where they're playing close to 30 minutes a night, but it seems like he thrives like that. It seems that his motor just doesn't stop. He's a guy who you can give him 30 minutes a night. You can give him against the team's top talent. I mean, he's going up against Getzlaf, Perry, Maroon, Silverberg. You know, we saw some truly brilliant hockey from the Anaheim Ducks this postseason. And for the most part, you know, say for Perry's goal last night, the Hawks did a good job of containing them. I know that the Ducks, for the most part, dominated the series, but Duncan Keith, Andrew Seabrook, Hjalmarsson, I mean, these guys, like I said in our last show, which was a few weeks ago, I thought that Chicago's lack of depth on their blue line, despite the fact they are so top-heavy, I thought that their lack of a third pairing would end up hurting them, especially over the course of a seven-game series, but it didn't seem to matter because you have a guy like Duncan Keith who, I think we always have those breakout players in the postseason, and I know that we already had Keith amongst the best defensemen in the league, but he's making the case that he might be the bestie in the league right now, right with Doughty and Subban, and it really opened a lot of people's eyes to just how talented it is. But when it comes to Jonathan Toews, I know that I roll my eyes at the leadership thing because I think the Toronto mainstream media officially destroyed the term leadership once David Clarkson came to Toronto. I mean, I never want to hear that term again. I think that the fact that they defended him for so long trying to use that term and saying how he does the little things right and he brings a good voice to the locker room, that means BS. That means nothing to me. So I always roll my eyes when I hear talk of how great of a leader Jonathan Toews is. But I can't disagree with the results. I mean, as much as I don't think he's nearly the player that Sidney Crosby is, Jonathan Toews is about to take another team to the Stanley Cup Finals and potentially have his third cup before the age of 30. I mean, like, I remember in one of our last episodes we talked about how great of a career Corey Perry has had with a cup and two gold medals and winning nearly every single level of hockey. But Jonathan Toews is right there with him, and if he can have a third Stanley Cup ring already before the age of 30, you know, as much as I roll my eyes at leadership, he already is one of the best leaders we've seen in the modern era.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this year, you know, I've really watched Chicago strong. I've watched them a lot because I find they play entertaining hockey throughout the whole regular season. And I think Patrick Kane, I mean, everyone talks about him, but I don't think they talk about him enough. I mean, he had a broken collarbone, and he was supposed to miss a couple months. I think he missed 2 months. He was projected to miss 6 months, something crazy like that. And he came back the first playoff game. He is a freak of nature, that guy. I mean, he's probably one of the most fun players to watch because he's so fast. He's pretty underratedly small. I mean, he's a small guy, but he is like a water bug on the ice. He just skates fast, amazing hands. This Chicago team, it's crazy how good they actually are and that every year they're this consistent, they're going strong, and it's a fun game team to watch, and I think they'll take over Tampa pretty handedly. And I know I've been surprised with Tampa, so I probably will be surprised again, but I think Chicago is just the best in their forward lines, their four forward lines. We talked about this last show as well. They have the best four forward lines ever. I mean, their line of third line of Patrick Sharp, Timo Tiiravainen, and Andrew Vermette. I mean, that's a line that would be on the first line in most teams in the NHL. This Chicago team, is probably my favorite team to watch other than the Canadiens because they are just so fast. Joel Quenneville is probably the best coach in the NHL right now. I mean, I watched that matchup last night very closely, and from the first faceoff, he switched lines up. He saw, you know what, I don't like that. I have to take Jonathan Toews out there. That guy won that coaching battle. It was a coaching battle. Everyone was saying, oh, game seven's up to the players. Yeah. That series was – Joel Quenneville took control of that series in a huge way. He took a control in a way that most coaches wouldn't be able to. So I was very surprised with how that series went. I think Bruce Boudreau, you know, he got a lot of hate, and he still is going to because of his game seven record. That guy deserves a round of applause. I think he coached perfectly. He coached the best he could. If he played with Newski a little bit more and actually played him in the playoffs, then maybe, yeah, then people are going to use that as an excuse. But you know what? I think that Anaheim Ducks team is so good. And I think I was listening to Pierre Maguire on radio, in Montreal radio, a couple of days ago, and he said it like this. Both these teams should be in the Cup final. They're both the best teams in the NHL. It's sad that one of these teams are going to be kicked out. But that's how it goes, you know. It was one hell of a series, and like I said before, that was my favorite series of so far in this whole playoffs because it was just hard-hitting, fast, and the best part about it was that you didn't know how the goalies were going to be. I mean, Crawford and Anderson, they've both been pretty overrated sometimes and underrated, and they really came up strong, both goalies. I mean, you cannot blame this series on any of the goalies. I think, yeah, they let in some bad goals once in a while, but, I mean, you played against the best scorers in the world. I give a big round of applause to both those guys. And I've been a big fan of Anderson all regular season long. I think he gets a lot of hate because John Gibson's the big next guy that'll take over as Anaheim's starting position. But that was a fun series. And I keep on saying that because it probably was one of my favorite series I've seen in the last couple of years. It was kind of underrated, I think, as well. And NBC also hit record numbers last night with, I think, a 3.3 overnight rating, which is huge. I mean, it really... LA hockey, I mean, in California, is growing at a rampant speed, and it's a cool thing to watch.
Well, not to mention, like, you bring up California hockey. We just saw the AHL team, or the AHL was adding five teams to California to have its own division. I mean, that alone proves how much, I mean, the sport is growing at a rate that we can't even fathom. I mean, look at next year's potential first overall pick in Austin Matthews, born in Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, we're starting to see now, like, you know, I remember my father telling me about it 10 years ago. He said, watch the next wave of U.S. hockey. You're going to see these rich American families who maybe the father played pro at some level. Maybe they're just a family that wants their kid to play hockey instead of football. And hockey is a sport that it's expensive, and you need to be able to have resources. And now you see these rich American families, they just put their kids through it. And before you know it, they're part of these under 17, under 16 development programs where you're starting to see where a high school hockey team in California could arguably play against a minor midget AAA team in Southern Ontario. I have no doubt in my mind that the Toronto Marlboros would struggle to play against the Orange Ducks. I mean, it's at that rate now where USA hockey is thriving way quicker than Hockey Canada ever has. I mean, I think that especially in the Canadian sense, we hold on to that idea of it's our game and we're so proud of it so much, but we don't realize that it's a very expensive sport to play in. I mean, if you have a kid who plays AAA hockey in Canada, you might be spending up to 10 grand on putting him throughout the season. So it's a sport that you need resources. And I keep bringing it up, but it's these rich American families who they probably don't want their kid to play football anymore. And they're not a fan of soccer and they're probably bored of baseball and they see this new sport on ice and they figure, you know what, there's indoor hockey arenas so you can play it year round anyway, might as well put my kid through it. And before you know it, there's a whole new wave of California hockey. And like you said, it's probably at its most exciting. And we can say that some of the best teams in the sport are San Jose, Anaheim, and Los Angeles. And now, like I said, with the AHL adding five teams to Cali next year, it's only going to get bigger. Anyway, we've spent half the show talking about this one particular series, and we still have a lot to get to. Let's briefly go over Tampa Bay and the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah, the New York Rangers. That's how little hockey I've watched. now, from what I did see in this series, I really thought that the New York Rangers were going to advance on. I honestly thought that Henrik Lundqvist was going to take that next step again and try to get that Stanley Cup final ring, but Tampa Bay has been exciting. and you're starting to see Stamkos break out a little bit more, and guys like Palat and Johnson. And by the way, Tyler Johnson's having one of the best postseasons I think we've ever seen. I mean, like, he could score 20 goals at the end of this. I mean, Tampa Bay's been incredible, and credit to Ben Bishop. I mean, he's taken some heat over the years, but, you know, posting a shutout in Game 7 against the Rangers at home, at in Madison Square Garden, where no one wins Game 7, I did get a chance to see the highlights from that game, and it was incredible. And kudos to the Lightning. Chris Quigley was in that series.
Well, I agree with you. I thought New York was going to take control of that series. I thought they would move on up to Game 7. I give a round of applause to that Tampa team because they just proved everyone wrong again. I mean, against the Montreal series, you could say that they were outplayed, even against Detroit. You know, I would say Detroit should have passed on in that series, and same with Montreal. But it's this team just knows how to score goals. They know how to play a different type of hockey every night. I think John Cooper is one of the best coaches in the NHL. He's my favorite coach in the NHL. I think he's got one of the greatest personalities. He's different, you know. He's not like everyone else. He didn't play the game at a strong level, you know. He played high school and played college a little bit. But like, this team has the youth. It has the veteran group. I mean, it's a team that has been underrated all year. And you know what? I'm happy for this team. I'm happy for the fans, you know. I went down to a game in Tampa versus Montreal a couple weeks ago. And, yeah, I mean, it's a new thing in that town, you know. A lot of people don't know about it, but it's for sure getting popular. I mean, I was watching a video when they made it to Cup Final. I think 2,000 fans from Tampa went to the airport to go congratulate the team. I mean, that's something that a real fan base is doing, and it's good. You know, this is just another example of the Sun Belt teams growing, and that's the Eastern Conference, or the Eastern Conference needs that, and the NHL needs that. So I'm excited for this Tampa team. I hope they do well against the Chicago Blackhawks. I don't know how they're going to match up. Ben Bishop, you know what? The guy, he deserves a medal because the amount of heat he's taken from everyone. Everyone said this guy's not a number one goalie. He's played against two of the best goalies in the NHL. He deserves a medal because the guy, he's played against Price, he's played against Lundqvist. The guy's played amazing. And I hope that he can go match up against Corey Crawford. You know, I don't think that's as hard as his last two teams, but he's had the best mindset, just saying, I'm going to play my type of hockey. He's not comparing himself to those two guys. And Alex Killorn, I mean, that's the guy that, man, he's a Quebec guy, you know, Montreal-born, and he is just dominated. And, like, you know, everyone's talking about Tyler Johnson or talking about Stamkos, which they should be, but Alex Killorn, this guy, I think he's very underrated with the way he's playing because he is a big body. He knows how to use his body, and he has the speed. He's probably one of my favorite players to watch right now because of the way he's playing and the confidence he has with Steven Stamkos.
Before we move on, what's your pick for the Cup Final?
I got Chicago, but like I said, I think I'm going to be surprised. I think everyone's taking Chicago, and I think that that's good. I think Tampa wants that to happen. I think Tampa wants to be the underrated team. You know, they have been the whole season. They're that young group of players, and I hope Tampa takes a run at Chicago. But you know what? That Chicago team is too good. They're just too good to lose against the Tampa team. And I think the X Factor will have to be Ben Bishop. I mean, if Ben Bishop plays lights out, then maybe they'll have a chance at it. I know he plays Corey Crawford, but it's going to be hard for Steven Stamkos and Tyler Johnson to match up against Patrick Kane and Jonathan Tate, the two best players in the world.
Yeah, I hope that, and I'll take the Lightning just to play devil's advocate, but I'm interested to see if the depth that we've seen from Tampa's forwards and their ability to generate offense, I wonder how that's going to compare to Chicago's lack of depth on the blue line. And even though I said in the last show that might hurt them against the Ducks, and while, yeah, Duncan Keith is playing 30 minutes a night and playing tremendous hockey, to wonder if it does catch up to you at some point, or if this team is just elite enough where it doesn't even matter, where they could just play hockey into July if they wanted to. But I'll be very interested to see how Tampa does against there. But I think they might take it. And like you said, Ben Bishop's going to be the X factor. If he can, especially if you can steal games in Chicago, then Tampa's got a chance. But we'll see. Now, we've been gone for a while, and some things have happened off the ice in the NHL. And there's been a lot of coaching changes. And before we bring up the big one that happened in the blue and white, let's talk about a few different ones. Pete DeBoer is going to the San Jose Sharks. I didn't really even think Tabor was as good as a coach as Todd McClellan, who's now in Edmonton. But that's going to be a change of scenery for him. Tabor had a lot of success with the Kitchener Rangers in the early 2000s. And, you know, all things considered, did pretty well with the New Jersey Devils. I mean, a friend of the show, Todd Cordell, is the biggest advocate for Pete DeBoer in the sense that he thought that he got a raw deal and he got fired. I thought that they probably played Brodeur too much in his last season and that ended up hurting him. But I thought DeBoer did a relatively good job with the Devils, and I'll be interested to see how he does in San Jose, especially now. There was so much made about the leadership core in San Jose, but I think at the end of the day you have to acknowledge this is Joe Thornton's team. And if DeBoer can somehow harness that with the Sharks, I think he's going to do a good job. And obviously the other one that happened a few days ago that really made me open my eyes was Dan Bylsma going to the Buffalo Sabres. We know Bylsma's history with USA Hockey. Obviously he watched Jack Eichel at the World Championships. So you have to think there's going to be – obviously there'll be some growing pains with the Sabres, but I think Bylsma's coming into a really nice situation where he's got a guy who would be the first overall pick any other year in the NHL draft. And he's got Evander Kane, and he's got a team with a lot of cap space and a lot of room to grow. What other thoughts have you had on the recent coaching carousel in the National Hockey League?
Yeah, I like that move by Buffalo. I think Dan Bylsma would fit in perfectly there. That's going to be an offensive team, and that's they're going to be that offensive juggernaut if they want to actually get to the point of making the playoffs. They have a lot of cap room. This is going to be an interesting season for those two teams, Edmonton and Buffalo, I'm talking about, because they have the cap room, they have the youth, and they've got two great coaches. So I'm excited to see what Buffalo's going to do. I wonder if we're going to see some offer sheets. You know, I said on Twitter yesterday, this will be the summer of offer sheets with the way everyone's talking about it. And we don't know if it'll happen, but there are some big RFAs out there, big name RFAs out there that, who knows, maybe they won't be signed with their team. You know, this UFA class is very weak. The next year's is very strong, but this year's it is.
Mike Green is going to make $6 million.
Yeah, it's like if it was in 2008, then yeah, great. Oh my God, Mike Green's not available. But guess what? Mike Green is a fifth, sixth liner that'll be your power play specialist. Justin Williams is probably the best forward out there. So it's a brutal one out there. But I think there's a lot of big names out there. But yeah, getting to the coaching, I think Danny Bylsma will fit in perfectly with that Buffalo team because guess what? The guy, he can get along with young players. We've seen that in Pittsburgh. He did that with Sidney Crosby. He did that with Evgeny Malkin and Jordan Staal. You know, it's going to be an interesting team to watch this season, especially because that there's been so much animosity that's so far in the playoffs. And we haven't, it's been a month since the regular season's been over. And there's already so much talk about how this Buffalo team has gone through so many issues. I mean, they lost out McDavid. They lost out on Babcock. Finally, they get their guy in Bylsma. But I think Eichel is going to surprise a lot of people. I'm happy for that because everyone's talking about McDavid, and everyone should be. McDavid's amazing. But Eichel, I mean, I've watched him a lot. You know, I'm in the U.S., so I got a lot of college games from ESPN. This guy, he's a big body, and he's got speed. He's kind of like a Ryan Getzlaf, but I think even better, which, I mean, if you can be better than Ryan Getzlaf, you've got an amazing career ahead of you. So, yes, I'm very excited to watch Buffalo. I think they're going to be busy this offseason. You know, maybe they're going to sign Matt Beleski and maybe regret it. But, hey, guess what? This team has got something in the youth that most teams don't have. And that defense group with Zadorov, I love Zadorov. I think he'll be a great defenseman in a couple of years. I'm excited for this Buffalo team, and they've got something special.
Before we go on to Babcock and Toronto, the other one that I found really interesting is Dave Hakstol going to the Philadelphia Flyers. And a lot of people were talking about how they've never heard of this guy and how, you know, this is a no-name who the Flyers are just taking a chance on and they're hoping for the best. He is one of the – man, my voice. He is one of the most successful coaches in modern college hockey history. I mean, you look at his record with North Dakota, he's taken that team not only to two straight Frozen Fours in the last 2 years, they've had a lot of success in their postseason. They've graduated a lot of National Hockey League players through their team. I mean, the guy, he played college hockey as recently as 2000. He's a relatively young guy. He's taken a Flyers team that probably tuned out Craig Berube in the last half season. The Flyers still have a lot of work to do with that team. I think that until Ed Snyder dies, that team is going to continually struggle and do make wrong decisions. But I think that taking that flyer on Dave Haxtell, a guy who I think is going to be recycled throughout the NHL for the rest of his life, he's going to be a good coach. And I think that I'm glad that teams now are starting to notice that it's not just junior hockey. It's not just some guy who used to be a head coach somewhere else or an assistant somewhere else. You can go to the NCAA and find really good evaluators of talent. And he's an example of a guy who has coached one of the best college hockey teams throughout the 2000s and the 2010s. And now they got him. So I'm very interested to see what they do with him. And obviously we got less than 5 minutes left. Mike Babcock going to Toronto. It's unfortunate that we weren't able to talk about it when it was a little more newsworthy. I actually found out about it at work in my break room. I was sitting there eating my sandwich, and I look up during Brady and Walker, and they're like, oh, by the way, Elliot Friedman's reporting that this happened. And it was a bomb that dropped on the city of Toronto. I didn't believe it. I didn't think they had a chance. And credit to them. I mean, like, for the next few years, we have to look at that whole situation as an example of manipulating the media into getting the message that you want out there. I mean, we saw – everyone thought Toronto was completely out of it. And Babcock and his camp did a tremendous job of making everyone think that it was between Buffalo and Detroit. And he drove the price up. And at the end of the day, he said, you know what? Actually, I'm going to go with Toronto. And a lot of people figured he worked with Tim Murray before in Anaheim. He had seen, like, unlimited reigns in Buffalo. Or he could just go back home and feel more comfortable. But the Toronto Maple Leafs, they finally did it. They finally were able to realize that there's no cap outside of players. You can spend as much as you want outside of the team you field on the ice. Why wouldn't you spend as much money as you can and try to utilize those resources? And now it's not just Babcock. They've added seemingly every general manager from the OHL. They're about to steal Detroit's assistants from them. I thought they did an incredible job of convincing him that, listen, we're going to go through a rebuild. There's going to be some tough times. But if you want to be a part of this and be the voice that helps us, you know, determine this roster and help us change the culture, which I'm so sick of the term culture change because I find it so overused in the media, and I find that teams just use it as it's a buzzword that can make people get excited. But I think that when you do something like this where you have a guy that demands respect like Mike Babcock, a guy who's not afraid to bench a star and coached arguably the greatest team ever assembled in the 2014 Canadian men's hockey team at the Olympics. And not only, like, people say you can coach a team like that and obviously you're going to win, it wasn't just that he had the best lineup. They played perfect hockey. They took the puck away from their opponents. They had nearly 60% possession in every game. They were defensively perfect. I mean, they were incredible. And now they've got a guy who said there will be pain and it's going to take some time. And I think that this is the first time that Toronto is doing a proper rebuild where they can see, all right, it's going to take some time. We're going to have to unload some pieces. We're going to be crap for a little while, but if you can bear with us, we can do this the right way and try to win. But I'll say this, if they try to do the proper rebuild, but we got less than 2 minutes to go. If they try to do this and they don't win, then they're cursed and they'll never win. The Toronto Maple Leafs will never win if they go through this rebuild and they don't somehow come out with a Stanley Cup. Then they'll never win, ever.
Well, let me say this. You know what? Mike Babcock's the smartest man in the world. He played everyone in the most classy way possible, and he did it. Last show, I know it was a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Mike Babcock. It was old Mike Babcock sweepstakes. And you said on the show, let's forget about it. He's not coming to Toronto. You weren't the only one. I thought the same thing. So did everyone. And guess what he did? He did that. You know what? That Toronto team, I'm excited for them because that fan base, because guess what? You guys have something to cheer for. Can't wait until next year you finish in last place and everyone's going crazy, even though we said to expect that. But, yeah, you know what? It's good for the fan base, and I really like all these coaching moves. I'm happy for each franchise that's got that. But Montreal's still stuck with Michel Therrien, so we'll see how that goes.
Stuck with him for now. I'll see you in December next year. We'll see if Michel
Therrien... Yeah, Guy Boucher is coming to Montreal. He's coming. Guy Boucher is not getting a job because he's waiting for that.
It seemed like Guy Boucher was going to come to Toronto. And then Mike was like, yeah, I guess I'll come. So, worked out for the Leafs.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was me. We came back. So
sorry to all the listeners for how crappy my voice sounds. But this was episode 48 of the Hockey Guys podcast. I'm Hunter Crowther. He's Chris Shannon. Go to thehockeyguys.net to listen to more content. Yeah, it was less than 10 seconds. We're going to have a few more shows next week. Bear with us and take it easy, folks.